Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Deborah Frances White from The Guilty Feminist, and this is The New Normal, the show from The Guilty Feminist about life and feminism in lockdown. So we're about to start this video. We've tried this one today before, and it's not worked, so we're going again. So I'm going to see if Jessica Regan is there. Here she is. And waiting for Jessica Regan. Siobhan's there. In 5, 4, 3, there she is. Hello.
Oh, that was stressful. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We've started all over again. I'm going to open this window, though, because it's very hot
in here.
I was outside, but it didn't work with you there. So I'm not moving now. I'm going to stay here.
That's what I mean. I'm sorry. Yeah, you have to move in. But
it's all good, but I'm just... Yeah, this is really bad light in here, though. It makes me look so terrible.
Do you want to...
No, it's all good. How are you?
I'm all right. That was a kind of a confluence of my greatest fears, letting people down in technology. So, wait for the hurry to
me too.
Down.
Me too, honey, me too. So the first question of the new normal is, how the hell are you?
Well, how are we all? I have to say, you've got me on a good week.
And oh, that's good.
I think that's because I've just spent the last 2 hours, on and off, reading Maya Angelou with refugees, women. And
what?
Yeah.
That sounds like the most feminist thing ever.
It kind of is. Yeah. And Yeah, it was just incredible. With Roots Women, who have been on your show, the wonderful Daisy Jacobs. And because of big speeches, they approached me to come and maybe look at helping. Hi, Maeve. Hi, Ruth. They came. And hi, Hillary. They came and asked me to see if I could do something, on Zoom. It's not ideal. And I really was scratching my head going I've really wanted to deliver big speeches as soon as possible in a way that we can. But it's been really hard to get my head around for lots of reasons. There was a lot to process with the quarantine, obviously, and technology is tough for me. I'm neurodivergent and I struggle. But this has just been really wonderful, really special. I started off with kind of lots of technical exercises, and then we just started reading it. And to hear Maya Angelou's poetry from their voices, I was just like, this is amazing. This is wonderful. So, it's been, you've got me on a good week, but there have been some really dark ones and some low ones and some sliding down the wall ones. And then ones where you go, oh my God, I'm just like working out and like eating organically, like I'm crushing this. And then, you have 4 margaritas and go, well, I'm not crushing this. Actually, I'm crushing ice in my kitchen, weeping.
I hear that.
You know what I mean?
I hear that. Oh, I'll have a week where... I think I was saying to Siobhan actually yesterday, I'll have a week where I'll be like, I'm so coping. I'm like over coping. I'm thriving. And then something small will happen that is so insignificant and I will burst into tears and I'll sob. And I'm like, am we coping deep down or are we coping on the surface? And I think we are coping on the surface. But I mean, that's a strategy your body and your brain has. It goes right, cope, surface cope. If that's all we've got, sometimes the surface cope is what, it's not conscious, it's just like what my brain and body wants to do right now. I'm sure I'll have a big crash afterwards.
I'm actually excited to see what's going to happen afterwards. How the hell are we all going to be? You know,
I don't actually know, but I think we're going to need to look after each other a lot more.
A lot. And like, if we're going to talk about like the dark gifts of this quarantine, which we never would have wished in a million years, no matter how good our sourdough starter has become, like we still wouldn't have like wanted this in a million years.
No.
To kind of take from the dark gifts, I speak to a family member most days, and that's just not something I did before. It really isn't. I had like a weekly phone call with my dad, and you know, and I would talk to my mum a fair bit, but you know, my sisters and I, we gotta get on with it and like each other's posts, and we're having like big chats on the phone, and that means a lot. And and just you talk a lot about tribes and, you know, finding your tribe, and I kind of realized I actually have, I have multiple tribes. Like I have my actor tribe, and I have my urban London family tribe, and I have my, you know, I have my best pick tribe and my guilty feminist tribe, and I, you know, and they've given much succor, like really they have, and making sure that you, that just doesn't fall by the wayside or get taken for granted when this is over, I hope, and valuing that more rather than wishing your, like, to be in a certain place at a certain time, when actually all I want now is to be on the South Bank with my friends, you know, and what a joy and a treat that will be when it happens, as opposed to kind of going, this is fine, but like, it's not the Chateau Marmont, you know what I mean? But we'll still want the Chateau Marmont too, probably, as well.
Human
How
beings
are you doing?
Complicated. I'm all right. I've had a sort of couple of days where I've done a few things, a bit like you with the, you know, nothing as feminist as what you've been doing. Is there anything more feminist? But I've done a couple of things. I was on Krishnan Guru Murphy's Channel 4 podcast, How to Change the World. I had a great conversation with him. He's great. And I have been working up a treatment, knocking some ideas around with a couple of the writers, and that's been so, you know, just things like that that make you feel your worth again, like make you feed your soul a bit or something like that. Because if I'm doing something where I go, oh, that was really good, and I had a moment, it's the difference between feeling really low, and it's really hard to feel your worth if nobody's, and our worth, of course, is not what we do. And Siobhan and I were talking about this yesterday, and we're going to have to reassess all of this. What you do is your worth, but feel your, it's not your worth. It's your worth is the wrong word. Just the motor of me, the thing that makes me elated or ignited, is always creativity, always like a connection, ideas, you know. And in the last 15 minutes of throwing these ideas around, in fact, we were just running over. We're like, haven't got the ending. Should we just keep going for 15 more minutes? Then one of us, someone said, oh, I've got to go to the loo. And while that person was in the loo, the other person pitched something so good that I was like, that's it. Blah, 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 finished. Boom. It's done. And we just had that kind of moment of inspiration and excitement. And when I have that, but I think is I can't have that all the time because I haven't always got that circumstance, that structure to have. You know, that's about, you know, a particular specific situation, you know, where, so, you know, yeah, I'm all right at the moment. This isn't your time. Why am I talking about myself?
No.
Is there anything about it?
It touches a lot on just, I think it's so interesting what you said. So last year, as you know, you're a good pal, it was a tough year work-wise. It kind of went really quiet, and I had to change agents, and I really struggled with that. And it was very confronting because it was like, not my 20s, am I going to do this? And I sort of knew there was no answer, there was no decision. I 100% was not going to stop being an actor. Maybe there'll be more diversification, maybe there'll be more this, that, and the other. But I thought, you know, I have to really find ways to nourish myself and, you know, outside of this profession, which is feels like my beating heart, you know, being an actor, like you said, being creative, it sparks you. And I feel incredibly fortunate that I got the jump on that mindset before this kicked in. Do you know what I mean? Because I think we're all a bit in that place now. Even, I think, you know, Olivia Colman and David Tennant are going, oh, it's going to be a bit quiet. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we're, for particularly the front of, those of us who are kind of front of house, you know, it's, and in so many industries, and of course I'm speaking to my own, but, and I think there was as well in the beginning, Deborah, like if we'd done this a few weeks ago, I was in grieving. Like, I just was like, it's over. Game over. Like, when will we assemble again? And that's kind of past now. I let myself have that. But what you're talking about, the creativity and that feeling alive, yes, we have to identify ourselves outside of work. Yes, we can't let us define us. But when the thing you do, and my counselor said this, and she said, well, I guess it just goes to the core of who you are. And I was like, yeah, it's the core of who I am. And I think that's okay. That can coexist with, you know, I think there's going to be, I hope not too many rash decisions made. Like, you know, you have that great saying, like, never make decisions about relationships in Edinburgh. And I'd say, don't be too hasty making decisions in quarantine going, well, that's it, I'm jacking it all in. Like, is there a way we, you know, you can diversify, expand, and that kind of thing?
Or are there new models? Just to be clear, if you're watching this and you live in Edinburgh, I do mean the Edinburgh Festival. Yeah, I am aware that your city is a city. And you may live in Edinburgh and need to break up with someone because it's not working.
Yeah.
So I don't want you going, oh, that's really tricky because he's very boring and I'm in Edinburgh. So I'm stuck with him. Comedians and actors talk about Edinburgh like it's a time, like it's a month, like it's August. Yeah. Like, not never, like it's a city in its own right with a very rich history.
Indeed.
We are aware that your city is not Brigadoon. It doesn't disappear when we leave at the end of August. Although we will stand in the middle of the city going, when Edinburgh's over.
Yes.
I mean, like, it's terrible.
God, they're going to enjoy a break from us this year, aren't they? They're going to be
we're terrible people. And we apologise. Yeah. No posters, no flyers, none of that.
No one trying to
Edinburgh could do with a year off. Poor Edinburgh. Poor Edinburgh.
Poor Edinburgh doesn't
need all those jugglers. Poor Edinburgh. So is there anything about this that has surprised you about the way you've responded or humanity has responded?
Yeah. I love that it's like I've watched this and I know these questions are coming, but it still gives me pause. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was surprised at, probably, I'm relieved to say, because I wouldn't say this every year that I've lived in London, but yeah, probably my resilience. Probably a bit, like, I am a bit surprised. Like, I could feel a lot of grief and going to pieces early on, and then it was like, oh we're getting up every day, and we're okay. All right.
We're coping. Yeah,
we're coping. Things that have surprised, another thing as well, I learned that it is incredibly important who you live with. Incredibly important. And I've had the benefit.
We're not all having the same experience. If you're alone, it's a totally different experience. As opposed to if you're someone you're scared of, that's a different experience. If you're with a horrifying experience, if you're with six people in a shared flat and you don't really know them, but you're sharing a space, that's a very different experience. Can I just question, somebody called Simon says, Edinburgh, the cementing of our love for Jess. I'm going to need more information. Who the fuck is Simon?
Simon is a very he's a very happily married gay gentleman, which is probably why you're like, you never told me about Simon. But we did.
Told me about Simon.
We fell in love in Edinburgh. We genuinely did. We knew each other very
briefly. During what show?
It was before your time, like before our time, 2001. I was in a show called Innocent When You Dream, and it was exactly what you want from your student Edinburgh show. We were wearing black and white. It was devised. There was no set. You know, you're welcome. You're welcome, audience. But it actually was a sweet show. But myself and Simon were like, we were always a bit like, hi. And then we ended up working and living together, and A Terrible Beauty was born. And I have watched Drag Race with him every Saturday during this pandemic. And that has been like a tent pole of sanity, and has helped me so much. And I could see I was getting a tongue lashing there. People going, what about your Dublin tribe? Shout out to my Dublin tribe as well, and my Clonmel tribe. and my Cork tribe. Hopefully that's
excellent. And somebody says, saw you in the Sweet Science of Bruising last year at Wilton's. It was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So that's your Sweet Science of Bruising boxing, Victorian boxing ladies tribe.
We were, it's May now, so we were rehearsing this time last year. And actually a tweet that made me really emotional was, what was the last line you said on stage? And my last line that I've said on stage was, the fight will go, the fight goes on. And I just, oof, you know.
Yeah.
And it was funny, like doing these like home workouts. I was doing some shadow boxing the other day. That's how I shadow box, like a child. I got incredibly emotional just doing boxing. Like that's now, that's like where I go.
It was
to
a
now.
Brilliant show, and I hope it comes back. We've got some trolls today, so I'm just killing them like nits. Hold on. I don't want to block Jonquil accidentally.
No.
Simpler time. Oh, he's gone. Jonquil. Yeah, he's gone. Sorry, Jonquil, you're not a troll. I accidentally nearly...
She's the opposite of a troll, actually. She's like the biggest champion ever of people.
Yeah, she's a lort, which is the opposite of a troll. Yeah, so we've got... But occasionally, very rarely, we get people coming on to say men's rights or like screw feminists or something like that, but it's always very sort of very, they're not very witty or very clever at it, so I just sort of it's just sort of, you know, when you're killing nits, it's sort of a bit like that. It's just like boom boom, hide conversation. I didn't know I could do that at first, and someone was being very queer phobic to such a guest that's on. I was very distressed by it because I didn't want to draw their attention to it, and I was trying to keep, you know. Somebody says shut up, but I don't know if that's someone on our side.
I think, listen, don't worry about me because I have a pretty thick skin. After, when you're on a soap opera, people will tell you stuff in the street. So, you know.
Someone's saying gay and they don't have an avatar. So I'm going to go with, we're going to, that this is someone who's already been on. And I'm just going to, I'm going to hide the story from somebody. None of them have pictures. I wonder why. Yeah. I mean, it just happens some days. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll put them out without referencing them. They don't need the attention.
They love it. Lonely.
Yes. So have you had a really low moment you wouldn't mind sharing with us? Because it really encourages everyone, because we're not live streaming those moments. We're only live streaming the happy moments and the kind of fun moments. And look at us doing house party in funny hats.
Okay, so like I was saying, the year I had last year, when the quarantine hit, that very first week, I kind of was like, I can put my bags down a little bit. I can feel a sense of I can feel a sense of togetherness with people. I felt very outside, and like when you get depression and stuff, you feel like everything is happening very far away from you. And I was diagnosed with that in November, and I kind of thought, you know what? There's something about this that might make me just sort of work on stuff and maybe not see everyone's greatest hits reels for a change, and be able to kind of, you know, just be in a kind of a calm space. That lasted a very short period of time, and was soon, I realized a phenomenon, I didn't coin it, but productivity porn started happening.
Right.
And I started to feel like immensely oppressed by some of the projects that were even announced, you know, and I found myself on a on a call with my childhood friends, my oldest friends, a few of whom you met actually at the Sweet Science. And they were just randomly chatting about stuff they'd seen on YouTube, plays they'd been streaming, and I completely lost it. Like, I just started crying and I couldn't stop, and was just like, I don't know if there's going to be an industry when this is over, and I don't know if I'm ever going to be on stage again. And they just, I don't want to be like American about it. Nothing wrong with being American about it, but they held space with me. They kind of just all went, okay. You know, like a lot of Zoom faces just kind of going, okay, just let her get it out. Let her get it out.
Yeah.
And I did. And there was no judgment. At any point, none of them turned around and went, I have three kids under five. Like, you know, they all just kind of let me let that out. And that because I think what felt low about that was I didn't know that explosion was inside me and it came out. It's funny how your brain goes, oh, I see like six faces you trust. You're letting this out,
Yeah.
Something I did struggle with and has now turned into a positive. I was on a waiting list for counselling after my diagnosis last year with the wonderful, wonderful, incredible NHS. And I finally got on the list or whatever, and I got the call and they said, look, we can start your therapy, but do you want to wait until all this is over? And I was like, no, I've waited long enough. I need to just, anything will help. Every little helps. Like, let's just take whatever's on offer. And for the first few sessions, I was really, I thought this is tough because you bring up a lot of stuff in therapy. And normally, you know, in the past when I've gone for counselling, I treat it like going to the gym where you go, I'm going to have like a little treat afterwards. I'm going to like go for a walk and like have a latte and a Danish. And it's like, I've done my hour. Don't do any more work. I showed up, didn't I? And having to just sit with the stuff that you talk through in your session and having to just sit with that and not being able to deflect or come away from it was really hard at first. And then I realized, oh my God, it's such a gift because I think this is the most efficient, effective counseling I've ever had. So there's something in that that's been confronting and difficult, and I'm definitely not for everyone, you know, but I was like, okay, I have to just sit with what we talked about and I can't kind of distract myself. I have to find a way through the murk, you know.
That's great, Jess. That's really great.
Thank you.
Can I
do whatever you want?
Ask you if you have a feminist project we could get behind today?
Yeah, well, I'd love you to check out Roots Women, who I was reading the poetry with and doing all that with. They're an amazing charity who pair mentors with mentees, who pair women with refugees to mentor. And they're just really worth like reading up about, seeing ways to support them. It's not something you can automatically volunteer for to mentor. It's something your work has to support you in doing, which is actually a good model. You know, it's good for the business. It's good optics. And then the person who's volunteering isn't out any money, and then the charity can function and all these kind of things. I was approached by a mentor saying, can I come to a big speeches workshop, or can my mentee come to a big speeches workshop? And I said, I absolutely, but can you come too, like gratis, you know, like free, like to support your mentee? And it was from that that they got onto Daisy and said, you know, this could be really helpful. And like, I don't know how much of use I can be to them at the moment, but we were talking about even just maybe doing like a weekly poetry read, and that will help with English and stuff, you know? It's great because I think we always had this idea, didn't we, Deborah, of big speeches, how we wanted to empower any woman, whatever, you know, CEO to the coffee girl to whoever, but also kind of go, let's use that to also like go out into other kind of more sectors that need that kind of bespoke corporate training that they can't access because it's expensive.
Right.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, so can you make us a story about that and we'll share it?
I will, absolutely. And I'd also, if I could, I'd love to just shout out two other people. Pregnant Then Screwed is an amazing maternity charity, and they're doing like a lot of work helping women suss out their rights, and you can follow them on Instagram. And if you are someone who's going, you know, been on maternity leave, like trying to balance childcare with all this madness, like they're an amazing resource. And then also House of Pride is a really beautiful organization founded by Luke Corfield and Alex Tassat, and they it's like a beautiful queer space that want to have wonderful, joyful events when we can all reconvene. So they're kind of the people that I'm trying to invest my time in and do what I can and amplify where I can. And you told me that.
Yes, if you cannot donate, that's okay. Amplify, follow. That is super encouraging, and you may share it with somebody who can donate a lot more than you can. Anything you've been reading or binging that you would like to share with us?
So I feel like I've been talking a lot about like my counselling and my poetry with refugees. I think it's very important people realize I have been watching Selling Sunset in my pants eating pizza, like, as well. Like, let's have some balance here.
Let's have some balance. It's also important. What have you been watching?
Selling Sunset on...
Selling Sunset.
On Netflix. It is trash. It is straight up trash, and I'm obsessed. Here's the quote I think will hook you. So if you can imagine... if you can imagine The Real Housewives. Okay, so I'm not a reality TV person. I never got into the Love Island thing. Real Housewives, not into it. Not being a snob.
Neither.
Just didn't get it. Randomly onto the Selling Sunset. Oh, I miss LA. I love LA. I'll just like some property porn, like lovely.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And down.
It's about estate agents.
It is the Oppenheim broker real estate. They're on Sunset Boulevard. They're a real business, and it's just about the workings of the office. So you get bananas characters alongside incredible real estate. Like, you know, beautiful houses, old Hollywood houses, grotesque bachelor pads, like all insane money. So like one of my favorite quotes, I feel like this might hook you, was they went to view a $70 million house, right? Disgusting.
What, 7-0?
7-0, baby. And she was like, the only thing is, like, this was basically just grotesque, like, in a massive hotel, essentially, a resort. And she was like, the thing is, like, there aren't, like, any views. And the character was like, billionaires have compounds, millionaires have views.
Wow. That cannot be your t-shirt slogan, by the way. Every day is a non-demand t-shirt. Somebody did suggest for your t-shirt quote, I'm supposed to be crushing it. All I'm crushing is the ice for my margarita. That would be a good quote.
That's quite good.
But okay. All right. I will try. What is it called? Selling Sunset.
Selling Sunset. Like, only if you need to just like as a sorbet, like
I have to admit that during lockdown, I did Too Hot to Handle, and I never, I find
what was love, that like?
All my friends love Love Island, and not all my friends, but some. I have a significant amount of friends. I'm on a Love Island WhatsApp group, and I try and try, but I sort of think, well, so they're sort of being made to do it, but Too Hot to Handle, they're not meant to have sex. And of course, when you're not meant to have sex, that's when you want to have it. It's if the hot priest from Fleabag were a reality show, Too Hot to Handle.
Sold.
Somebody's saying, can you give Hannah Gadsby's new show, Douglas, a shout out? I certainly can. Douglas, Netflix. I saw it live a couple of times. Absolutely astounding show. It's the sequel to Nanette, which was this huge global phenomenon. And it's a brand new show, and you need to watch it right now on Netflix. It's out.
Glory.
Indeed.
That can be a sorbet. Like, let's get some.
Back. It's the opposite of Selling Sunset and Too Hot to Handle, just to be clear. I've just started The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel because all my friends are like, why don't you watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? I thought I tried it once, but I hadn't really gone into it, but I hadn't really. And I watched the first episode last night and I really enjoyed it.
I tend to avoid things that I resent not being cast in.
Fair.
You know,
absolutely.
I was like,
fair.
Oh, it's period. She's stand up. I think you'll find that should have been. Me. I mean,
should have been.
I hear.
Well, it's the only thing is, it's a Jewish character, and the actress is not Jewish. So I feel I'll write you the Irish version. How about that?
Deal. Sold. But then they'll want Siobhan. So.
I mean, I'll write two parts: one for you, one for Siobhan. Siobhan, are you still there? I don't know. What else was I going to ask you? Yes. Are there any habits you might take from lockdown forward? So I'm doing dancing and I want to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. I will make some of my meeting Zooms, so I'm not zooming around so much. If we get back to a post lockdown world where suddenly I'm like here, there and everywhere. I'm going to try and lead a slower life because you know how manic my life was and how manic your life was. Is there anything you would like to take forward? Siobhan's here. Siobhan, I'm writing parts for you and Jess, just to be clear. I'm going to write you a new show. There is in this thing I was working on today, a fabulous Irish character that, oh. I mean, she's quite you.
But you have she's an embarrassment of talented Irish friends. Like, you've got Spittle, you've got Bohart, you've got B. Like,
I know.
It's an embarrassment of riches. You like your Irish.
I do have an embarrassment of Irish riches, and that's why I'm saying I have to write a proper Irish, more Irish. Thank you. Siobhan says, thank you, I'll take it. Right, okay. fine. I'm afraid.
Do you know how long I know Siobhan?
You prevaricated and said, oh, darling, you've got so many Irish friends, and Siobhan said, I'll take it. This is why you can't hesitate, babe.
I know, you can't.
You cannot hesitate. You have to just go, yeah, it's mine. Shotgun. Next time I say I've got a good Irish character, shout shotgun as
mine, shotgun. Loud no, as possible. I don't care that Aisling is on Netflix. Gimme. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Are there any habits you might take forward into the new world? Oh, what? Someone's asking, will Mr. Tato get a guest spot? Yes. Yes. Oh, Siobhan's saying, sorry, she's starting the part. It's just,
I think she's taking the part. She's like hijacking this Insta Live. You were on yesterday, girl. Jeez. I mean,
I'm sorry, Siobhan. In my opinion, you're always welcome. I like the heckling.
Siobhan was in that play, that Edinburgh play that I did with Simon that we were talking about
what?
Earlier. Oh yeah. Oh, we're OGs.
What a fun crew.
I was thinking, like,
is that how you two met?
No, we've known each other since 1999.
Since the 20th century, since the Fin de siècle.
Millennium. And I'm not going to spend this Insta Live just talking about Siobhan, because that's exactly what she wants. But I will say, it's not so much that we became friends in 1999, but that she started to tolerate me.
Oh, okay. All I can think. All I can think is about you doing Edinburgh August 2001 is you came off the end of Edinburgh and 11 days later and September 11th 9/11. Depending on when Edinburgh, but about 10 days later September 11th happened and the world was never the same again. Wow. And this is the second time in my life that I can say, okay, the Western world is never the same again. It's a real line in the sand. Are you going to take anything through?
Yes, I'm going to take... What? I've been doing... Okay, so I have succumbed to the home workout. Again, in a way that I never foresaw myself. And I realised, and I think you've talked about this, that actually it wasn't the exercise that was the problem. It was, what do I wear going to the gym? Do I get changed out? Can I walk through... Mm. Getting there.
Do I have to wash my hair afterwards? Then I have to carry around sweaty clothes. Hair,
all of that. So I joined up and
you jump out of bed, you throw it on, you do it, it's done.
And then you're like, It's fab. And I'm doing this center workout, which is Liam Hemsworth's app. And I don't know if you'll particularly appreciate
this.
Oh,
are this you depth. Now? Oh, are you? Are you working out with a Hemsworth?
Like,
well, obviously, like, that's a fucking incentive. Are you watching Liam Hemsworth sweat?
No, he's not. He doesn't do them. But what happens is, like, you get to the end of maybe like 10, and it's like, Chris has a message for you. And I'm like, oh my God, what? Chris is, and it's not for you, but he's like, keep going. You're doing really well. And there's something
what?
About Australia. Yeah, there's something about as hot Australian men being like, you legend, you crushed it. And I'm like, oh my God, like, am I getting married? Like, what's happening?
That a real is incentive. Incredible.
Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. So the Hemsworth's just like a cheer squad.
He chips in, you know. He just chips in. He's like, you know, it's like, oh, I found this really helpful. And you're like, of course you did.
Wow. Ali Rouge, who's a regular watcher of The New Normal, says the hermit crone lifestyle has its perks. Ali, I nearly did that because we've had loads of trolls on today. I nearly blocked you. Because I thought, oh my God, someone's calling us hermit crones. And I went, oh no, that's Ali. That was a self-own. That was a lol, we're all in this together, hermit crones joke. But I was nearly like, another troll. That's home workout, it's a good one. Do you have any renewed faith in humanity because of this? Do you think, oh my God, we might all come together and pull through?
Oh, listen. I have to have faith in humanity, so I kind of refuse not, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
One of like an early moment I had very early on in lockdown was that I was fortunate enough to be asked to do a little bit of audio work through my voiceover agent, and I didn't have any equipment, and you couldn't get anything on Amazon for love nor money. And I don't know if you know this about me, Deborah, but I'm low-key in a band. Low-key. And basically...
Low-key in a band? By the way, Team Hermit Crone could well be your t-shirt because Hermit Crone has taken off. Team Hermit Crone is really, there's so many Crone and Pratt. You get the full profits for the t-shirt. So Team Hermit Crone, I'm questioning whether or not you should own Team Hermit Crone. Just
did
to
I come up with that though? I don't know if that's fair.
I think you should just quickly like reinforce it, make it your own, because you're going to sell so many t-shirts.
So yes, thank you very much. Point.
That's mine. Yes. Sorry.
Just
go on.
Back to the question. So I looked. There's some local musicians that sort of have a bit of a jam with, like, very sporadically, and it's very good for the soul. It's a bit like Best Pick. Like, I do it for like the film podcast that I do with your husband Tom, and as you know, and John Dorney. It's for the soul. It's not to please anyone. It's not to fulfill a criteria. It can just be whatever it is. And these guys, who I don't know that well, but happen to live locally, were like, oh, do you want a mixing desk? Do you want a microphone? Do you want to... So, like, there was these packages left behind my bins when they go to the shops to, like, help me set up a home recording studio. And then I realized,
wow,
this laptop is borrowed from Jeannie Spark, you know, our dear friend Jeannie Spark, because my laptop broke right before the shutdown. Or not right before, a few weeks before. And I kind of looked and I realized everything had been borrowed. Everything had been lent. Everything had been offered. And I was able to make some money. And I was like, wow, that is just... I was like sitting in a stress position in my wardrobe trying to record a romantic novel about a girl getting everything she wants. So that was confronting.
And, of course it was!
Like, I was like, it was like, and she knew that this would work out forever. And I was like, fuck you, Chloe. But then I looked at the equipment I had that was all borrowed, lent, donated. And I was like, man, we got to be doing more of this. I think we need to check in with each other more. Like, actually, another thing that really moved me was like, so many people just rang saying, do you need anything? Do you need anything? Have you got everything you need? Do you need anything? Listen, I'm going to do a John Lewis order for you. No, I don't want to hear about it. Da-da-da. Like, that was incredibly touching and moving because I'm not near my family. I made the decision not to go home. I didn't want to bring any plain nasties. And I felt my London family. And felt my Irish family as well, so virtually. So I can't not have hope for humanity. I know too many incredible people. And I include you in that.
Oh, no.
I include Tom in that. And, you know, everyone...
Speaking of Tom... Speaking of Tom, congratulations on the Best Pick nomination for Best Arts Podcast at the British Podcast Awards. So Jessica Regan does a podcast with the producer of The Guilty Feminist, Tom Selinski, who is also my husband, incidentally, and another brilliant actor and film buff, John Dorney. And it's a podcast in which they choose at random one of the best picture winners from the Oscars from any year since the beginning of the Oscars to this year. Then they research it, they watch it, they share their research, they review it, they decide whether they think the Academy got it right or not. And it's a brilliant show. And so many film buffs and people in the film industry say they learn so much from it because the research is mwah. And also everyone has a wonderful time. And if you play along and watch the movies that they're watching, you will, by the end of the exercise, have watched every single best picture winner. And also Tom's always watching around it because he wants to know, well, what else was that year? And do I think this was better or that better? So the amount of research these guys do so you don't have to is incredible.
Hardcore. What was so lovely about the nomination, like, because again, like, I really wanted, Best Pick is so precious to me, and it's very much like a space where I get to be, just get my film nerd on, like, you know, just really be myself. And it's, you know, when you're an actor and you're always auditioning and you're trying to, you know, you have to get away from that and you have to be your authentic self, but there's an element of pleasing people and being right. And it's like, I don't mind if this isn't a massive hit. It doesn't matter. We're making no money from it. It's just for the joy of it. But then to kind of approach it with that spirit and then get this recognition, so surprising, because we're small. Like, don't be fooled that he also the producer.
Yeah, in downloads, it's not going to be like, you know, no such thing as a fish or the Guilty Feminist or whatever.
Like, but
podcasts are not really about that. Podcasts are about, it's what you're aiming for with a podcast, I think you should be aiming for, is certainly at first, is a small audience who really care about you and listen to every episode and are waiting for it to come out. And actually, if you only ever had, I say only, if you had 1,000 people who wanted to listen to your podcast every single week or every single fortnight or whatever you bring it out, you've got an audience of 1,000 people hanging off your every words. I mean, go into a 1,000-seat theatre, look around and go, if that's your audience, that's huge. And that's a small podcast. I don't know how many regular listeners you have.
I think Tom was like, it will be an awful lot of work if we get consistently, you know, if we don't grow it to a certain level. And I know that it's grown to the level that was Tom's benchmark, which was fairly modest. And I think it's gone now beyond that. I think we're probably around a couple of thousand downloads an episode now for sure.
So
like 150.
I'm just going to ask him because I don't want to get it wrong because he'll be annoyed.
Sure.
Because he cares about this stuff so much because he's a graph person. Well, Tom Selinski. Tom. Oh, he's plugged. How many downloads does an average Best Pick get? He's waiting for the numbers. 2,000.
There you go. So
you've got 2,000. Yeah. But, you know, that's the size of the Palladium. I just shared today that we played the Palladium 2 years ago. And I was like, oh, my God, then we were at the Palladium. That's the size of the Palladium. Listening to your every word, playing along. Lots of people are saying here, oh, I love that podcast. I've been playing along. I watched Citizen Kane because of you, because it was a Citizen Kane special, because it didn't win Best Picture, and it should have, obviously. It's the most famous film in the world. But lots of people are saying, I'm playing along for you. And if you think of 2,000 people who are playing along and watching every movie, or at least learning about every movie and letting you watch it for them, that's an incredible amount of people, and they really care. And the reason that you guys got nominated is the show's very good. It's very entertaining. It's very funny. It's very educational, but you learn a lot, but you're laughing. It's always so much fun. The stories, the backstage stories, the on-set stories, the... what else was happening that year? There's always gossip about what happened at the Oscars that year. It's so,
you know, I bring the
so good.
Well, you know, I bring that, like, that. Those
you bring the goss. And I've guested on this now 3 times. The last time was Chariots of Fire. I don't know if that's been released yet. I don't think so. Chariots of Fire, Out of Africa. Out of Africa was the last time.
That hasn't been released. I think, are you not 4 times? Maybe 3 times. American Beauty.
Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire, Out of Africa.
Out of Africa.
Three times. Huh.
I think 3. But yeah, I mean, they're particularly, those last two are particularly important movies to me. So well done on the nomination.
Thank you so
much. Very, very, very big congratulations
you as
on
well
that.
For the nominee in the over 100 downloads. Big cheese.
We got the we're nominated for the Spotlight Award, which is like for I don't know, podcasts with big audiences, I guess. I never win. I get nominated every year for the British Podcast Awards, and I never win. So I have absolutely zero hope of winning. But I will be in a sequined sweatshirt because it'll be on Zoom, I assume. So I'll be in a sequined pajama top. Yeah, I've never been able to go. I've always been on tour when that's been on. And as I've never won, I've never felt like, damn it. Because actually, going to an awards ceremony, you always win when you go to awards ceremonies. I don't. I rarely win. Come on. You're you hilarious. Won an RTS award, a Royal Television Society award, and you won the Soap Award for Best Newcomer. You've won, there was a period where you were always on a red carpet with a shiny trophy, and I was like, oh, she's fucking won again. So I bet you do win, because you're the charm.
That would be hilarious. Would you be a little bit raging going, motherfuckers, like interrupting my day?
I'm telling you, if I have been nominated like 3 years in a row and I've never won once, and then you fuckers come along and like first time in, boom, take the gold.
Oh, whoopsie.
There's a gold, silver and bronze, so there's three shots to win as well.
Which is not, and that would really then kind of, it's, listen, I just, from the point of view of like, and you know, again, this is something you've said so much and it has really impacted on me, like, about, you know, when you're coming from a place of like pure love doing something, it sometimes does, you know, it if you're doing it out of pure love anyway, then great. And it's sometimes it is the thing that hits, like, because it's a bit like, how did we slip through? And I know you've gone through all the reasons why, which is so lovely to hear. And but it still was a surprise. It still was like,
I don't think you've slipped through. I don't think you've slipped through at all. I think it was simply excellence. You spend more time prepping your podcast than most people will spend time prepping a television show, to be honest. That's why. And you're really into it. You guys are all so into it. And you really, really, really care. And it's a bit like how I feel when I listen to No Such Thing as a Fish, is they're competing to make the other ones go, oh, like, what? And you guys are always wanting to bring the gold, because you're like, I don't want Selinsky smashing down this hilarious story and then I don't have anything. So you're like, well, I brought this. And it's, you know, and you learn a lot about the period as well and the whole of cinema. I'm always having to watch. I'm having to watch these things with Tom sometimes. I had to watch Captain's Courageous last night because it's 1937. He's always watching black and white movies. And I have not watched this is a true story. When I was 11, end of term, you know, the last day of term and they sit everyone on the floor and put a video on.
Oh yeah.
You know, muckabout day. They put on Captain's Courageous, this old black and white film, which is would not be seen as appropriate for children now, but it was like, it's a story about a kid whose poor little rich boy ends up on an ocean liner, falls over the side, is a really nasty piece of work, little rich kid, because he's not had any guidance from his dad. He's not got a mom and he's fallen over the side. And he gets rescued by some fishermen. And they're like, yeah, we'll take you back to shore after we've done our fish. But of course, there's no mobile phones in 1937. And he's like, no, I need to go back now. My dad will pay you. He's so rich, he could buy and sell your boat, sort of thing. And they're like, so you say, kid. If we take you back to shore and there's no big payday, we're screwed for the fishing and we need this money to eat. So sorry, we will take you back when we will take you back. And so this kid then has to live on a fishing trawler. Now, I saw this when I was 11 and I remember it so clearly. All the other kids were talking and mucking about and I was the only kid. I was watching it and I was sobbing at the end, like crying, sitting on the floor amongst all these joking kids, just crying at this film. And then the next year, the bastard showed us the same film on the last day of term. And the same thing happened. I sobbed. Now, Tom bought it for me for Christmas 2 years ago, put it in my Christmas stocking because I told him the story. And I didn't dare watch it because I thought, what if it's really just like melodrama, pap, and I don't think it sounds like, oh my God, it's so corny. Or what if I cry again so much? So I just didn't watch it. And then last night, Tom said, look, I'm going to watch it because it's 1937. I'm trying to research the year. And do you want to watch it? I was like, I can't have Captain Courageous on in the house and not see it.
like a baby. I'll send you the picture because I sent it to Brett Goldstein because I told him about it on his podcast, Phil's We Buried With. And I cried again like a child.
That's
stunning film. So good. It's so good.
There's some really incredible films made in the 30s, which, you know, has been a bit of a revelation for me doing this podcast. Who's, you know, like 30s is, yeah, and The Best Years of Our Lives is another great one to seek out. But speaking of that kind of visceral reaction, one thing I have watched on Netflix is Steisel. Have you heard of Steisel?
Oh, no.
So it's set in Israel, and it's a Haredi Jewish family. And I got onto it through I think a lot of people watched Unorthodox, and a lot of the actors in Unorthodox are in this. And it's kind of a family drama. There's just two series. A family drama, and it's set in this Haredi world, which is a very enclosed world, and I think there'd probably be a lot of resonances with like the Jehovah's Witnesses and that kind of very, very ultra orthodox closed world. And it is some of the most exquisite television performances I've ever seen. And what's astonishing is you start to just fall completely in love with these characters, finding them also relatable, and then all of a sudden you get this reminder of how thwarted they are by what's imposed upon them, and then you really feel their frustrations and limitations.
Does it deal with the oppression of Palestine at all?
No, it literally doesn't touch on it. Pretty much.
I think I might find that a bit like, I don't know. I'll have a look, but I might feel a bit like,
I think because it's in that world, and they're not allowed to watch the news, and they're not allowed to watch television. They're not allowed to go on the internet, and they're not allowed to do anything.
Oh, they're completely apolitical, and they don't know what's going on outside.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Alrighty. Okay. So just somebody here says, Jonquil says, I was also in Casablanca. I was in the Casablanca one, which was live. In fact, I planned that as a surprise for Tom, and the cinema accidentally gave the surprise away.
Yeah, well, it was a fast present.
Yeah, okay. Somebody's asking about denying the existence of Israel, and
I was just recommending a show. Probably should have realised where I was.
It's very, very difficult. And it's like, I met a young Palestinian man in Switzerland when I was doing an event for the UN, who was telling me it's totally apartheid, and, you know, I mean, not that I need to be told by him, but it was just, he was this incredible musician, and all of his, obviously, I know, you know, I'm an Amnesty ambassador, but he was telling about his brothers and sisters had all been sent away to different conservatories because they all had this brilliant talent of music, but they all had to have scholarships because he was a Palestinian living in the Israeli community. And he was like, it's completely apartheid. And he was such a gentle, extraordinary talent and spirit and human being, and I was just like, I can't be supporting anything Israel's doing now. And I know there are of course individuals who, you know, live there who are of course themselves in part of an oppressive society. It's so complicated. But I'm just acknowledging what this person's saying, and also trying to acknowledge what you're saying, which is stories, you know, stories being told about human beings, and, you know, understanding all of those human beings' struggles. Can I ask you a more fun question?
Sure. You want to get off this topic? Okay.
If we got out of lockdown now and you could do absolutely anything, everything was back on that was on before, which is not how it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. What would you do first? What are you desperate to do?
The cinema.
The cinema.
I go to the cinema on my own 1 to 3 times a week. And it's my meditation. It's my calming. I occasionally go to the cinema with Joy Wilkinson, wonderful writer, who wrote the boxing play, because we don't speak. We watch the film, like, but I got into the habit of going to, there was something about when I moved to London that going to the cinema on my own seemed like a really sophisticated, to an art house cinema seemed like a really sophisticated thing to do. And I just feel really peaceful there. I actually am almost worried about the reaction I'll have. And I know I'm going to come off as just this ridiculous lovey when I say it, but when I experience live theatre or get to participate in live theatre again, I think it'll be so incredibly overwhelming. Like, I'll need a mild sedative, you know what I mean? Like, but the cinema will be like I'm in the dark, storytelling writ large, you know, I will cry no matter what the film is. It could be Sonic the Hedgehog and I'll be like, it's so beautiful, you know. So
I feel like that too. I feel like I'm going to cry the first time I do The Guilty Feminist, first time I see a Guilty Feminist audience again in the real. I feel like I'm going to just cry when I see my friends. I think I'm going to cry when I'm just like in a pub again or like in a cafe with people around me. I'm going to cry when I get to go to yoga again. Like, I feel I'm going to be crying a lot out of happiness and relief, like good crying. But I feel like I'm going to cry a lot. I think we're all going to cry a lot. We're all going to be like, the need to cope will be over. And then not that we do need to cope. Now we all have days where we're not coping. Let's be incredibly honest.
Like 100%. And what's good is to have people that you can express that to without shame and without guilt. Like, it's not, oh, Simon was like, I will cry when I hug Jess again. I will be like sliding down people in Ireland. I'll be an absolute wreck. Like, cinema first, and then I want to get to Ireland as soon as possible. And I just want to sit with my parents. And how have you been with, you know, everyone so far away from you in Australia and New Zealand? How has that been for you?
I talk to my mom every single day. And New Zealand's sort of out of lockdown now, and Australia's coming out of lockdown.
Because of that boss woman that we love.
Yeah, I think I might, as soon as it's practical, maybe when we come out of the next stage of lockdown, I think I'm going to go back to Australia to see my mum, because I'm so nervous about her getting corona or something. But I'm going to have to self-isolate for 2 weeks in a hotel. Then I'm going to be allowed to see her.
Yeah.
So then I'd have to spend like another 2 weeks with my mum. And then like do some telly out there or something to justify it. But I'd still be able to do The Guilty Feminist and stuff. We just do it on Zoom out there. It's just that Tom does a lot of my tech, and by a lot, I do mean all. So he'd have to teach me how to do all of this stuff. So, you know, but it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Be fine. It'll be fine.
We'll make it work.
Fine. But I would like to go back. I would like to go back. Because I just want to hug my mum. Because it got so scared that I thought, what if she gets corona?
Yeah.
But there's virtually none in Queensland anymore. So she hasn't got it. So, but at the time I was like, oh, it sounded like we were just all going to get it. And she's lovely. And I'm like, I can't get to her? And I just couldn't bear it. It was devastating. Now I think it's going to be okay. And but I would like to get to her as soon as possible, because we don't know how the virus might morph or come back or, you know, so I want to hug her.
Yeah.
So that if it did come back post this, we've communed. Like, if I couldn't get to her for some reason or something, we've communed. I need to commune with her.
Yeah.
But also, I would love to see all my New Zealand family and give them all a big hug as well.
Yeah.
Somebody saying, come to the Caribbean, our borders reopening June 1st, no cases for a month.
Crushing it in the Caribbean over here.
Yes, come to the Caribbean. Are we allowed to get on a plane? I don't think we can go to get on a plane, though, can we? We can't. Instead of everyone going to judge us for going to an airport, I think we're going to get judged for going to an airport. Probably rightly. I don't want to do a full Cummings. I mean, I know we're not in that stage of lockdown anymore anyway. You are allowed to drive now. When he drove, you weren't allowed to drive at all. And, you know, it's, please come to Antigua. You can stay at my house. Is that for both of us? Can we both stay at your house, Elizabeth Garcia?
DMs, hon.
BA flying in July.
Yeah.
Okay, we have got a very, very nice invitation to Antigua to stay in a house.
And that's...
So, I mean, most of my friends and family live in Brazil, and I'm scared their elderly family won't see again. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Runbait Girl says, you guys don't want us Jeremy Lott there. Everyone can come, Elizabeth says. Okay, well, we'll talk. We'll talk in the DMs. The country and region is fucked without tourists. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay.
So is it like to go to these incredible locations? Is that us doing some good, I wonder? We'll see.
Yes. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the best thing to do is a writer's retreat in Antigua. We're doing good things for the whole... I mean, the thing is, the environment's so much better now. We're not flying everywhere at the moment, but I do have to fly to Australia. Is Antigua on the way? Let's look into that. Jessica Regan, is there anything else that you want to tell us before you go? Anywhere we can follow you? Anything we can watch you on? Where's Ill Behaviour on?
I did a show a few years ago that Deborah has so kindly championed on The Guilty Feminist. But it's funny, there's serious lockdown vibes. If you want to watch a lot of people doing lockdown terribly badly, Ill Behaviour is a show about people trapped together in a house, pretty much. And it's
It really is.
Like, down to, like, my
where can we see it? Is it Netflix now?
Netflix. It's on Netflix.
On Netflix, check out Ill Behaviour with Jessica Regan. She is playing a sciencey woman. The part was written for a man and then given to a woman pretty much verbatim. And that's very interesting in terms of, our feminist journey for representation, that it's not just sort of like, oh, we've written a lady part. Like, a woman can sort of play any part. Why can't she do anything, any part a man can do? And we had Sam Baines on The Guilty Feminist talking about rethinking. Yeah, it's a really fun episode. Listen to it. Yeah. Jess is brilliant on it. Jess is also brilliant on The Big Speeches. There's an episode with Jess on. We talk about her color, her gender-blind casting in Henry V. And she does wonderful workshops from that. Please make stories about that and those workshops, and we will share them.
Yeah, it'll happen again. Like, Big Speeches will happen again. We're looking into all different options of it being online, but we want to give you the real experience. We want to do it well. We don't want to rush into it. We want to do it well, keep it affordable, keep it accessible. And Tom and I are looking at various models of doing that. So Big Speeches will return.
Watch out for those things. Well, I think we're going to get cut off in like 3 minutes.
No problem.
Because it's 1 hour. So no, tell us. You've got 3. I just want to warn you.
I did a beautiful short film called Mom, which is about Queen Victoria. It was like an imagining of, like, if Queen Victoria had postnatal depression, which we kind of suspect she did. And obviously all the festivals stopped. But it will find a life somewhere, either being streamed or next year in the festivals. But if you follow Mam, the film, on social media, it's a deeply feminist, beautiful short film that I'm so
proud
of.
And give Jess a follow. And on Twitter, you're It's Jess Regan.
It's Jess Regan.
And here you're J. Riggs.
J. Riggs.
So follow Jess, and then you can see all of the great content that she is going to share with you, of stuff that she's got coming out, whether they be workshops, television shows, films, or whatever. Jess, it's been an absolute delight to have you on The New Normal today.
I look forward to
your t-shirt coming out soon. I don't know what it will be. Anyone got any quick suggestions for Jess's t-shirt? Or are we going with...
It could be that Priti Patel tweet that you liked. I don't know if I ever had
What was that?
Remember the Priti Patel, I wish she'd do The Apprentice.
Oh, that's funny. I don't know if it's about lockdown enough, but we'll have to see what Hannah from the merch store says. That was so funny. Yeah. Jess tweeted that, I wish Priti Patel had just done The Apprentice, because she's such an apprentice candidate. I didn't see it till then. People are asking for ice crushing.
Okay, the ice one.
I'm meant to be crushing it. I'm just crushing the ice for my margarita. But I also think there is a... who was it that said Hermit Crone Club? Whoever that is should have a t-shirt as well. And the t-shirt money should go to you, because Jess has said she can't take the money for that because, sadly, she didn't come up with it. Ali, was it Ali Rouge? So Hannah from the merch store, consider that, because I think we would sell quite a lot of... Hermit Crone Club ones. Jess and Hannah might find something else that you've said as well. We don't know, but I'll send you through the design when it comes through. Jess Regan, it's been an utter delight. Thank you so much. And tomorrow we have Nikesh Shukla at 6 o'clock. Compiled and wrote a lot of the essays inside, or compiled and wrote. I never know how to say that. Okay, compiled and wrote The Good Immigrant. He's written a lot of other books, young people's books, all sorts of things. And he also has got a new book out called Brown Baby. He will be on tomorrow at 6 o'clock on The New Normal. And Friday, it's the wonderful Jamie Lee from Derry Girls, who plays Michelle. So don't miss out on either New Normal tomorrow. It's going to be an absolute feast. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, Jessica Regan.
Lots of love.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.